roll the intro. It is a brand new episode of Ian's Entitled Scene Show. My name is Ian, and I have a feeling that tonight is going to be a lot of fun because I have on the show tonight, and like I said, this is going to be a little bit different. I'm really looking forward to it. And we've got Mike, Tyler, and Daniel of the band Whiskey Girl. So right now, guys, why don't you just go around the table and introduce yourselves, and we'll go from there. I don't think I've ever intro'd the show this way before, so why don't you guys take it away?
All right. Well, I am Michael Burrows.
Extraordinaire.
I'm Tyler Dossey. I'm the other guitarist of Whiskey Girl.
And I'm Daniel. Daniel and Mexican Vega, I guess.
Wow. Now, all of a sudden, I got to ask, Mike and Tyler, did you hear all that background noise coming from Daniel, or was that you guys?
I did hear that.
All right, Daniel, are you okay over there? That sounded like there was some weird, weird alien takeover or something, like Falling Skies or some shit.
Yes.
Yeah, are you okay over there?
Sound like a Honda Civic.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, just double checking. Well, now, Daniel, did you say what you do in the band?
Yeah, I'm a drummer.
There we go. And you're relatively new to the band, right? Because I think we can start off there because there's a lot to learn about Whiskey Girl. So Mike or Tyler, why don't you guys take it away with how everything got formed and how, because we know Rob's not on the show tonight, but there's a lot more that goes into the band that I'm unaware of, and I'm sure some of the listeners are too. So why don't you guys take it away?
Totally. Yeah. So this Tyler speaking here. I've been doing music for most of my life, you know, starting off in like little garage bands and making some things like here and there. Things with live basically just put me away from it. And then I finally came back to it. I had posted up a cover, a vocal cover that I did on Facebook and just putting out some feelers. And I was like, hey, is there anybody out there that wants to start up some music in like the San Diego scene? Mm-hmm. And pretty promptly, like immediately, Mike had messaged me back on Facebook, and he's got a pretty fantastical story as well.
Ah,
with his musical career.
Yeah, dude. So this is Mike here. So I've been playing guitar since picked one up in fourth grade. It was the first time. Started a little band. It was me. I was in seventh grade. Had another guitarist. He was in seventh grade, and our drummer was in seventh grade. So all seventh graders.
Wow.
And then we had a senior in high school as our vocalist and a, another guitarist. He was in 11th grade at the time. So back then we actually got invited to go up to Lobster Records, which Yellow Card was on at the time.
Sure.
Yeah. So, they invited us to go up there and talk to them about potentially being signed and all of that, which was really cool. You know, we were super young, so we had to, you know, one of our parents even drove us up and, just met up with the guys, and they took us around, had some pizza, ultimately to kind of keep a watch on us, but we were too young. Yeah. I mean, they were just like, you guys are too young. You can't leave school and all that. So, but the fact that they still invited us up was kind of cool. They didn't just, you know, say that over the phone or something.
So,
so then
one quick second though.
Yeah.
So what, not to interrupt too much, but what style of music were you playing back then?
Similar style.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Very similar. I mean, I listened to As Lay Dying back then.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, I think the song we covered was Finch, What It Is to Burn.
Fantastic. Love
that. That was like our singer's audition track when he came over, and he nailed it. He had that high scream.
Oh, right? That's great. Nice.
Yeah, it was super cool, you know. And then life happened. We all kind of separated. Never stopped doing music. Then I joined another band that I started with another vocalist. Same idea that me and Tyler just went through. Actually, this was 10 years ago now, or 15 years ago. We started a band, had an EP, went on tour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we booked our own tour, gone for a month and a half. It's called Given the Day.
Okay.
That was my old band. So yeah, then I was on a hiatus for like 10 years from 25 until now, you know, 3 years ago. I was always playing, always recording, but, you know, just hadn't really done anything like official. And all of a sudden I decided to do the official, and I happened to be living out in Temecula, California at the time with my ex now.
Okay.
That's when I saw that post when I was like, all right, let's just see what's out there. and I happened to scroll across Tyler, which is, you know, I do multiple things. I like to drum. I play guitar mainly. I started on bass.
Yeah.
I'm the audio engineer for the band.
Right.
Right. That's why I saw Tyler put, you know, I'm a guitarist, but it was a vocal cover. So that's where I was like, all right. Like there's more size to this guy than just, you know, jamming on the guitar. So
right.
Hit him up. He came over and,
yeah, as fate would have it, we ended up actually moving in together and, like, because I was in Texas at the time, and then I had moved back to California.
Ah.
And then Mike and I moved in together, and in the course of, like, a year, probably even shorter than that, because we had it finished before we had moved out, but that's whenever we had written Chrysalis.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a pretty quick transition there. So we're going to get back to some more of what was just gone over there. So, Daniel, what about you? Why don't you give a little background of your music history, how you got into drumming and what your journey was. And then we'll get back to some of the other stuff as well.
So I've been drumming ever since I was a kid, actually, like maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, English is not my first language. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Bear with me if I sometimes lack or something like that.
No problem.
So I've been drumming ever since I was a kid, like I told you, maybe 3 or 4 years, years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never took it like seriously to make a living out of it or something like that. Just like it was just like a hobby. And in the pandemic, I had nothing to do in the lockdown like everyone else. And I started uploading videos to Instagram.
Okay. All right.
Unexpectedly, I got a lot of, you know, a lot of people started to reach out and tell me that they like what I do, and
nice.
That's how I met the Whiskey Girl Boys.
Interesting,
pretty much.
Wow, that's. I mean, I like everyone's story of how they got to where they are. So let's go back to the origin then of what was the decision part of knowing, especially Mike. I guess where you were in your life. To decide, yeah, I want to do this now. Was it breaking up with the ex? Was it that kind of thing?
You did. Pretty much, I guess. So that's just me through and through.
Sure.
I'm a musician. Always have been. Always will be. You know, I feel like just life kind of steered me the wrong way. Just dating the wrong kind of girls and doing all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, when my ex left in Temecula,
mm-hmm.
I went to go see Dallas Green. Live,
oh, sure.
In San Diego. And so I, you know, I saw him just setting up on stage. And I was just like, dude, you know, I'm full focus until I am back doing that. I'm not dating anybody. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just full 150% going for the music thing that I always was doing. It was time.
Yeah.
It just motivated me. Also, I feel like it was just, you know, as a guitarist, just it took time, especially like I feel like I wasn't ever ready to like release anything. Like I wasn't really happy with what I was writing, really.
Okay.
And then it just took time of molding and 10 years of kind of just jamming and messing around to really find the sound and come back at it and be comfortable and stoked on everything that was coming out. So
then did you guys all come together under enjoying this style of music then? Because I guess the way I should word it, I know that a lot of bands don't often listen to the same genres as they're actually playing. And sometimes it's difficult to find other people that enjoy the same styles that you actually do, especially later on in life, right? So you talk about how you got into everything earlier on when you were kids. And then now, though, it's a lot harder because the scene is a lot smaller than people actually think it is. So,
yeah.
Was that something that brought you together, though? Was this type of love for that type of music?
I think it was just the love for music in general,
okay.
To be honest. Yeah. I mean, I do think Whiskey Girl does have an original kind of sound that isn't the typical sound.
Right. Mixture of different genres.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I do think we got pretty lucky on the fact of, you know, we do we love music, of course, and that's number one, is to have fun and enjoy what we do. Mm-hmm. But it is still a business. And so luckily, you know, me and Tyler are the sole, you know, starters of Whiskey Girls. So we've always been on the same page. It seems like it just kind of going, molding our way through and just kind of changing the, you know, our goals as we go and as we learn and find better songs and better styles and new tones of Rob. And mm-hmm. it's just kind of ever evolving, but we are lucky to at least be on the same page for the most part. So we didn't get together because of it.
Okay. All right. That,
I will say.
Totally.
That's it. It kind of like fleshed out, you know, I feel like most bands will do this. It's like you want to create music that you love and that you feel is like unique and to your own style. And that's kind of the place where I was so hungry to get back into like to making music. Cause I'd been in bands and stuff like before. And, I was in the military for 5 years and I went and traveled around the world. I did 27 countries with my wife and then come back and I'm just so hungry. I was like, I just need this. Like, I feel like I know I need this. And to not like, well, to know that music is what I needed. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure because I didn't know what the music I needed was. And then once I met Mike and we started fleshing things out, it was like, okay, it's like these thoughts in my brain and like it all just kind of clicked and fell into place because he was just like such a good catalyst to be able to actually put that into song.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's how you want a founding story to go. That's for sure. So then now it's you two, you write the record and then you had to obviously fill in probably, even though you mentioned you guys can play multiple instruments and, you know, sing and do all that, but there still is Daniel and there's still Rob. And then I'll ask about Zach later as well, but how do you go about getting everyone together? And like, for instance, you know, I'm assuming you saw Daniel play, you know, drum covers on Instagram, and maybe that's why you reached out. Is that how everything came together? How'd you meet everybody?
Well, so it was a Facebook group, to be honest. Social media has been our best friend, apparently, for the band, which I feel like isn't always the case. Mm-hmm. Like,
very true.
But I think it was Chango is the group on Facebook that...
Yeah, shout out Chango Studios on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah. I think that's where we found Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe start at the beginning, maybe.
Yeah.
So we had written a few songs, and then it was like, okay, obviously we need some vocals for this. And then going on Facebook, checking on Chango and stuff, and then you see a lot of these vocalists and guitarists, like a lot of musicians, kind of offering their services for hire. And we found Rob, and we were just absolutely blown away with this guy. We're like, okay, we know for sure we want Rob.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was after going through a few iterations with a few different vocalists.
Okay.
And then put out some feelers again because we're like, okay, like maybe let's get a screamer on board. And it got basically no hits. And then one day I got this really low-key message of this guy that had like nothing on his profile. Like absolutely nothing. He was just like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah. And then lo and behold, you know, I think it was a couple of weeks later or something like that. We're just out barbecuing on like a Sunday over at the pool, at our complex. And he just gets this message and just pulls out his phone and hits play. And it was literally the beginning screams of Reach.
Oh, wow.
That was what he laid down, was verse number one all the way up until the chorus part. And we were just like, in awe, just like, what?
In awe.
This is the guy. Like, this is what we've been searching for, too.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's Mr. Zach Weirich. And at that point, Mike and I just like looked at each other and we're like, okay, so that's done. And then we sent the track to Rob with what Zach had started. Mm-hmm. And then it was just this unbelievably cool symphony of just like this blending of like these sounds. And it was like, I've never heard anything like that specifically before. And it was so cool.
And then from there, how does Daniel come aboard?
We've been, trying to get into the live mode, you know, because these days, I mean, everyone's just on social media and doing that kind of stuff and you can grow that way. But we obviously want to tour and do the live and have that whole musical aspect that everyone dreams of course.
Yes, of course.
So you found Daniel.
I was just so excited. I was dreaming big there.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, gearing up to go live. And so that's where, of course, you know, like, can't just do a backing track and drums or whatever. So we've been looking. We always do take the time to find the right people versus just, you know, finding someone that's, yeah, they work or whatever. We do care about, you know, personality and getting along with us probably more so than anything else. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's, you know, vibing and getting together and just getting along is probably the number one thing, especially if you're in a tour van for 2 months together.
Yeah.
But so came across Dan and just his drum cover videos, and he was by far the cleanest player I've come across in quite some time. That wasn't like, you know, Luke Holland or somebody. so that's why we're like, dude, and we hit him up, and sure enough, he responded, and it kind of same thing, just snowballed down into where we are now and sitting here talking to you.
It was just a perfect fit. We went and met up with Daniel, and Dan, you can speak on this whenever you want, brother, but we went and met up with Dan, and it was just like we had known each other for our entire lives already. Nice. You know, it was just a good fit, and then Dan being stoked on our music, it was like also just an inspiration to be like, okay, cool. It's like there's other people out there, musicians that like really dig our stuff, and it was just a confidence booster. And he's been a very valuable asset to us.
So Dan, to follow up on that, as you mentioned, having English as your second language, mm-hmm. how was that with the style of music that you guys are going to be playing? Because, you know, I talked about it being a smaller scene. Obviously, you talked about having a screamer. Sometimes it's tough for people to even know what people in this style of music are saying when English is their first language. So how did you get started doing this? And is this your main style of music?
Actually, I think I've always liked rock music and all its, you know, I don't know how to say it in English, but
like subgenres.
Subgenres, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess I started listening to Blink-182 or something like that, maybe I don't know, maybe 18 years ago or so.
Nice.
And you know, it's like rock is, to me, rock is like, it's like an addiction, kinda. Like,
sure.
The same thing does not feel the same forever. You have to have more. I don't know how to explain it, but
yeah.
But right now, like these more heavy music is what I'm digging right now. And yeah, this is my favorite genre by now.
Nice. Okay. All right. I like that. So Daniel, you're in a point in your life where you're ready to tour then. Would this be your first time you've actually gone out on tour?
It is. It would be my first time, and yes, I'm ready. When I started to, you know, in the pandemic to upload covers and all that's stuff. I'm actually an engineer.
Ah, same.
And I was working as an engineer. I'm an aerospace engineer.
Oh, very nice. I'm chemical.
Oh, really? Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Very nice. Well done. That's like, you have like one of the, yeah, I do too, but
hate chemistry, bro. I just can't understand it.
Hey, look, I gotta be honest. I don't know how much I know about aerospace. So we're in the same boat. Sorry for nerding out, guys. My apologies.
Whatever, dude. I'm just kidding.
No, we're fabric engineers.
Yeah, so. I'm a volunteer scientist. So
oh, nice. How much you get paid for that, by the way?
It's donation based. Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so yeah.
So that's great, Daniel. Yeah. So are you able? So by the way, before we do a little bit more, I do want to ask on the part of having that type of job or career as being an aerospace engineer, are you able, like, are you between jobs right now that you're able to tour, or do you have the ability to take off time to do it?
No, I'm able to tour because I left my job, my 9-to-5 job. I left it.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe 2.5 years ago, I left it to pursue my dream of, you know, living off music. It's pretty tough, but I'm still here. And hoping to go on tour with these guys.
But it's gonna freaking happen, baby. Woo! Let's go.
Yeah. Woo! That's what I like to hear. Yep. Making dreams come true.
Right, baby.
I enjoy
Trippers, it. Midgets, and balloons.
Yes. Okay, podcast, step one.
Step one, yes. Be looking for our van.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be a very dark van with tinted windows.
Yes.
That is for sure.
No, yeah.
Let's go back to, I thought it was interesting when you said you wanted to find, so you found Rob, and then you said, oh, we might also want to have a screamer for this style of music that we're going to do. So was there the possibility originally of getting somebody that could do both? Because I hear a little bit, if you listen to Reverie, I can hear where Rob has a lot of texture to his voice. It's a possibility, since he does hit some of those higher screams almost, that he might be able to scream as well if he wanted to. But is that something you guys are still looking for? Or was, you know, working with Zach in Chrysalis, was that kind of a one and done type thing?
So don't want to give necessarily too much away here for our future, but yes, we were potentially trying to find somebody that could do both originally. That was the plan. It just so happened that, you know, I think our style, especially like I said, the background, I like metal.
Yeah.
You know, as like Dine, August Burns Red, that kind of stuff, Within the Ruins, Veil of Maya. So
very nice.
We did need a little bit heavier style of screaming. And mm-hmm. That's where Rob actually does do some screams. He's on the beginning of Reach right before.
Oh,
the
he
chorus.
Is. Okay.
Yeah, he just does the, I think it's the we. Mm-hmm. It says we just right up into the chorus part.
Okay.
So yeah, as far as the future holds, that is a different story that we might not want to say too much, sure. But it is very intriguing. We have some interesting stuff coming up here.
Okay. All right.
Very, very excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, not to delve too deep into everything, but I mean, this is what I've done on the show for a very long time. And when I know that I'm going to be talking to a band, you know, you look at the name of the album of Chrysalis, right? You know, that can mean a transition. So in that album, you have a lot of different styles of genres, and especially when you talk about the vocals, you have people, you know, you have Rob that's mostly doing the singing, and then you have Zach doing not only the metalcore screams, but also, you know, kind of almost a deathcore style scream as well. And each track that you guys have has been a little bit different, and has been able to utilize whatever, you know, whatever part you're looking for. So what I like about what you guys have the ability to do is you have the ability to work with so many different styles in the form that you're doing. So I appreciate you not having to, you know, ruin any surprises or go too much into it. But that's something that I enjoy about your band in general, is that you have so much that you can work off of, and the transformation or transitions that you can make between what you're doing, it's almost limitless in what you have as a structure right now, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. First off, thank you for saying that, because that has been pretty much our goal, is to always throw something different, have every song have its own individual element and stand out, and not to always have them be so similar.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely want to keep our listeners guessing, kind of, as like to what's going to come next. You know, like we've had some songs like go on like reaction channels.
Oh, sure.
And there's those moments of like a certain type of buildup where you think something is like very apparent. Okay, something's about to happen here, and then I've seen some people where like they're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, or like, you know, and that's what we like. I kind of like just keeping people on their toes with things. And mm-hmm. Now, and to piggyback off what Mike said, I appreciate you saying that about the music, and kind of want to point you as like the official spokesperson for Whiskey Girl, because that was very that was fantastic.
You know what? And I'm gonna kick myself, or someone's gonna get pissed at me for sure, because
I'm already pissed.
Oh, okay, yeah, there we go. I have done my job. So there is somebody. I think it might have been Cole who was the first person. One of the best parts. Because there's lots of shitty parts about doing a podcast, especially for how long I've done them for. But one of the greatest parts of doing a podcast is when people reach out and they let you know about a new band. Because for anyone that doesn't know Whiskey Girl, obviously make sure, you know, I have links in the description of the episode so that people can find you guys on everything. But what? Oh yeah. But one of the main things about being so in depth in the scene is finding bands that you might not stumble across by yourself technically. And since you guys had Chrysalis come out in 2023, and I think your first singles were in 2022, I think I found out about you in 2023 when somebody who listens to the show reached out and told me. And I want to say, I think it was Cole. So that's a shout out to Cole if it was him. If not, I vehemently apologize.
I wouldn't doubt that it was probably Cole.
Was it? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Is that a familiar name to you that I actually said it correctly?
You did. This awesome. Is Mike. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's been a supporter of me pretty much since Given the Day stuff.
Oh, great.
He's been a major help. Yeah, everything. He actually booked our band. His dad paid our fee.
Oh, wow.
To play.
Okay.
And so we went out to Montana and played a show out there and, you know, met up with his band and all the kids. They were in high school at the time, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just plugging and getting to know people and networking. We had a great time, and I still talk to him like every day.
Oh, cool. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad I had that right, because I have probably about between 5 to 10 people over the years that have always been really good about sharing new music. And if you're not, I am nowhere near that point of being jaded in the scene where I don't want to hear new music. Like I will always want to hear new music. And I love that approach that you mentioned about wanting to have something new in every track that you do, as well as keep people guessing as well. I think that is a big deal, especially when you stay within the framework of what you're doing. Like, I wouldn't necessarily expect you guys to all of a sudden throw in an EDM part into your music, but I guess anything is possible.
Anything goes, Ian.
Wait a minute. Yeah, anything wait a goes. Second. Have you been listening to our stuff? Wait a second.
Look, I know you guys sent me stuff you weren't supposed to, so.
No, dude. Go on.
Oh no! If you want to be the reincarnation of the original Attack, I am completely for it. Please,
yeah, I'm here for it.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
we are just kind of always trying new things. Like you said, I just like to do things that sound good. And honestly, Rob's voice, having him now and being around for, you know, more than just the first EP we put out, it's really starting to help us, you know, in the direction for the music and the writing. Now we're able to kind of write more with Rob's vocals and with him at the same time. We do go on Facebook Live because he's in Missouri. We write online, but, you know, before we kind of had the music, we would send it to him. He would, you know, we'd go back and forth and go over it. But this time we are, you know, we know now his range. We know our songs we've done together. We've been picking and choosing what worked the best, what didn't work so well, and kind of molding that into the next CD to be the best we can do this time.
Yeah. Capitalizing on those things that he just completely excels at, and not just him, but even us, like, as individually. And now also, like, with Daniel on board too, bringing in just like a different type of soul and style and stuff that we can experiment and change, especially with Daniel's background.
Yeah.
Really excited to explore some new depths, like, with our music.
So tell me a little bit, since Rob isn't here, what's Rob's background? Because he seems pretty seasoned. And I tried looking him up to see, you know, do I know him from another band? Do I know him from anything? And I didn't really find anything. Is he new to the scene as well? Is this one of a similar story to what you guys had of, you know, he's been doing music for a while and he just really wanted to take that chance to find the right band?
Actually, I don't think so. I mean, he's a manager at Burger King and I think he just does this on his spare time.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I'm totally joking.
You fucking got me. You got me on that one.
Totally joking.
It was, by the way, it was the Burger King reference.
Yeah.
If you had chosen McDonald's or something like that, I would have been like, oh no, he's kidding. But for some reason, Burger King made it like legitimate.
Yeah, right? When you're there, you're family, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the one.
Well, something like that.
I think we can speak a little bit on behalf of Rob. Hopefully. When we met him, he had his hands and arguably his toes as well in quite a few different projects, just because he's so unbelievably talented and everybody wanted a little bit of piece of Rob. So he's been doing, I think he had his own solo project for a while.
Oh.
And yeah, he had his band, It Comes in Waves, and they put out some.
Oh shit, I know that band. I should have been way better at my research because I actually know that band. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, they're super solid. I listen to their music daily as well. And he had a few other projects that he was involved in, and also just doing like the vocal thing for Hire. And he's just such a solid dude, man. We really feel like we just have like this close knit brotherhood, like with everybody. And Rob is definitely one of them. But I feel like we kind of just got lucky with the talent because he's kind of being a little exclusive with Whiskey Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. He was spreading himself pretty thin there for a moment. So he did kind of take a step back. And yeah, he's now just kind of doing our project as a whole with everybody. So yeah, we are pretty stoked. But as far as his background too, I mean, we've actually never met in person, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I was actually going to get to something, a similar question to that. Have you guys met Daniel in person?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
No, I live in Oaxaca.
Sorry, say that again, Dan.
I live in Oaxaca, I said, but no, it was just a bad joke.
Oh, okay, sorry. See, that's the tough part about a podcast sometimes, too, is sometimes when you hear the talk, it doesn't actually register, and then you ruin a joke. So that's my job, is to ruin
story
jokes.
Story of my life, dude.
Yeah, for us, Daniel is relatively close. It just has to cross the border at Tijuana.
Okay.
And then boom, like in San Diego. And Daniel was actually just with us like 2 days ago, I think. And yeah, we were hanging out, taking some photos and working on some music. So
very cool.
We see each other pretty frequently. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right. Now, since that's easy for you guys to get together, obviously Missouri is not. But since you guys are able to really craft the entire band, you know, over social media, as you've talked about, is there going to be a time where maybe Rob's going to have to move? Is that something that you guys would want to do, or is that way, way, way in the future?
Well, he's definitely going to have to relocate his entire family.
Oh,
we're not going anywhere. So him and his four kids and his wife, they can come out here.
Are you hearing this, Rob? Are you hearing
this?
Oh,
yeah. I forgot he couldn't make it. Honestly, we are, after this show, we're going to blow up and go on tour. So we'll
Absolutely.
Have enough money.
Yeah,
we'll have enough money to where we are just going to probably meet up and tour from wherever we decide to do our first show.
How about Austin, Texas?
Close to Tyler's home.
There we go. When you mentioned that you had moved from Texas to California, I was like, wait a second, I live in Austin, and that is not how things work. People move from California to Austin. So
I know, it seems a little like bass-ackwards, I know. I'm originally from Texas, man.
Ah,
I was born and raised in a little town called Groves, Texas.
Okay.
And it's like a little further south, kind of by Beaumont. It's basically Louisiana. It's
yes,
like right
okay.
on the border.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I lived with my dad in Louisiana for a while, moved back to Texas, and then the military brought me out to California.
Gotcha. Okay.
At some point. And then, you know, you just kind of get over here in that 70 and sunny. It's kind of hard to leave, you know?
True, true. No, that's very true. Look, I was living, so I myself am not military, but my parents are both veterans. So we moved around a ton when I was a kid. And most recently, I was in Boston. So I was on the East Coast. And that is, to me, horrendous. I finally got back to Texas after living here a couple times when we were bouncing around and everything. So I'm very happy to be here. I don't need to go to California yet. I am fine with the food and the weather here, even though it did get down to the 20s. But that's nothing compared to what I dealt with in Boston.
No, totally. And Austin, too, is a little bit of a utopia at this point, man. So I do feel like you're in a pretty good spot.
I'm trying. If you talk to anybody who lives in Austin for a very long time or who is from Austin, they despise it now because it's become so corporate and there's so many people from California. Mm-hmm. Now the place to go apparently is Nashville. That's where Californians are going. That's where Texans are going. That's
I'm down.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm good. I've been in San Diego for 35 years, and it's 58 degrees outside right now.
That's great. Woo! I've heard nothing but good things.
It's just expensive.
Yes, expensive. But so is Austin. So is Boston. So is any Nashville, I'm sure. Any place where it's a city, you're fucked anyway. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's like the positive outlook now. It's just to understand that you're going to get fucked no matter what.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Well, I'll say this. I kind of found a decent loophole around it. So I'm doing van life full time.
Holy shit.
I said, holy shit.
Now I don't know what to trust or not because of the Burger King thing.
No, he is telling the truth. He's an outdoorsy, adventurous kind of guy.
No, totally. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right. That makes more sense now. So you're really looking, I mean, going on tour is not even going to be that different for you, except that you're just going to different states.
Not even going to phase it. Well, just the change in gas prices, that's really the only change that's going to happen.
And the temptation with four cute dudes. Besides that, I mean,
besides
it's the same.
That, yeah.
I mean, we can narrow it down to two.
Ooh, we'll get into those later.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the segment we were going to do. Yeah. Let's talk about cute guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we are going to do a calendar, I think. It'll only be 4 months. Me, Rob.
And just repeated? You just go back and forth?
No, just four months.
Just four. Okay.
That's it.
Well, you know, look, this is how good of an interviewer. I mean, I've been doing this for so long. What 4 months are you guys going to do your calendar for?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that
see?
Is a... Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah. He has been doing this a long time.
Yes,
I didn't even think about that. I would say probably scattered, maybe like February, August, July, and December in that order.
Yeah, wow. Just fill in the blanks with puppies and cats or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Daniel, does that all make sense to you?
No, it never does.
Never.
I love that. Was a great line. Never. He already knows your personalities, and he's always like, okay, I get it, but yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, whatever.
imagine if English is my second language.
Oh,
this guy talks like that all the time, dude. I never understand a thing that they say.
That is a very good point.
the funniest thing happened the other day when we were taking photos. Mm-hmm. We were talking about something, and Daniel he couldn't find the word for wand. For like a sorcerer,
like a magic wand. Yeah.
And he's like trying so, he's like, what is that word? And he was like that little, like the stick, like the magic thing. And like, it does magic. And we're like, oh, a dildo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It vibrates. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's the magic wand.
Yeah. The magic wand. Yes, exactly.
We've all heard of it.
Yeah, of course. So I gotta back to music for a second, at least.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk a little bit about where you guys are going, right? Obviously, you've talked about having surprises on the way, but is this one of those things where, because you put out the album in 2023, you have the new single Reverie, but are you going to start doing more single releases, or are you going to do another album?
All right, here, hold on. So this is where we're at.
Okay.
We have decided, I believe, to kind of take a step back a little bit. We have a whole album written that we were and have been working on.
Okay.
We do have another single coming out here shortly, a compilation with 9 other bands.
Ah.
Not really sure how much more than that I can really say, but it would be probably about a month from now.
Okay. All right.
It is a cover song.
Woo!
It's a cover.
Which yes. We haven't done any of those yet. So, you know, after doing this cover, actually, we kind of decided, you know, it was a lot of fun. First of all, we enjoyed doing it and kind of creating Whiskey Girl style out of something that everybody knows.
Yeah.
So it did kind of maybe change our thinking to where we are going to potentially kind of break up the album a little bit, start releasing some singles, release some covers.
Okay.
We are always working on music. So the intent is we always do things, at least in our minds, right. And we never try to rush things. So, you know, not intending to try and rush an album just to get it out there. We definitely, I think we've got a good solid CD that's already out that necessarily hasn't hit the full potential because we really haven't marketed it too much.
True.
So that's why, yeah, instead of maybe trying to force out another album and, you know, get that done and do that whole thing, we're kind of just going to take the time, be writing the second album while releasing singles and kind of just intriguing everybody with a different side of Whiskey Girl, as well as, you know, throwing in some heavy stuff and, of course, and keeping it us.
Yeah.
It's not going to change in that manner.
Okay.
But,
yeah, because we do feel wholeheartedly that we worked really hard on Chrysalis and overcame a lot of obstacles to get it to the point to where it is now. And in our opinion, it is just a really well fleshed out idea put into song. And we want to give that its dues.
Sure.
You know, we've had a lot of people give us like rave reviews and, you know, it's doing good and we're just a small band, but like as many ears as we can get on this EP, on this debut EP for us, that is our goal. That is our mission right now, just to give it its justice.
Right. Now, by the way, do you call an EP or an album?
I mean, technically, I believe what 8 songs is technically.
I always forget. Yeah, I always.
Yeah. You know, Google says it's 8. So, you know, go with what you will there. But to me, it's more of an album. I mean, an EP technically in my mind is like 3-4 tracks. Sure. You know, that to me, an EP.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever.
Tomato, potato.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's we just like to call it an experience.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I think one of the other things that you guys do very well is set a tone. There's a tone and an atmosphere to what you're doing. And that's something I appreciate. It's easy, at least for me right now, it's easy to listen to one of your tracks in a playlist and know that it was you. Know that, hey, this is Whiskey Girl. And not some other, you know, band that sounds like you, that kind of thing.
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
You need to record. You're going to get a recording of this.
Oh no, I'm just thinking. It was purely just to hear it hit my ears one more time. But yeah, no, that's really nice of you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Of course. Well, let me ask you this about the cover thing. So I've noticed that I personally really enjoy covers because I don't listen to pop music. I don't really know a whole lot about it. The only time that I hear a popular song is if it's in a movie or, you know, I happen to be out at a bar and someone plays it on, you know, whatever jukebox thing or something like that. I don't listen to the radio. I don't hear pop music. But what I've also noticed is that there are pop songs that most people will know. And then there's pop songs that people start to cover. Like if you look at Our Last Night, I can't really listen to any of their cover songs anymore because I don't know what they're covering. So you know what I mean? Like when you guys decide to do a cover, are you going to go with some of your old classic favorites? Or are you looking to see what's popular at the moment? Like how do you plan on tackling a cover?
Well, first of all, Mike here talking.
Perfect. Oh, I got my soundboard. Fuck.
Took a bit of Opie and Anthony.
So, I mean, that's tough one.
By the way, that was the first time anyone has ever brought up Opie and Anthony on this show. And they are what got me into radio. So I appreciate that. Sorry, we can move on, but I'm shocked that came up on, you know, Scene podcast.
Oh no, that'd be great, man. Bring it. Open Anthony, Stern. I mean, doesn't get any better.
Sorry to do a tangent, but did you ever listen to Ron and Fez?
No. Oh. No, but if you're recommending.
Yeah, big fan. Sorry, they were friends with Opie and Anthony, and sometimes they would do cross shows where all four of them and Jim Norton would be together, all that kind of stuff. So sorry. For anyone that doesn't know, we just went on a complete tangent there. But sorry, let's go back.
More than welcome, dude.
Yeah, let's go back to what you were talking about. Sorry, with the covers.
No, you're good. You're good.
So Dude, I totally forgot what I was going to say, dude.
I fucked it up.
No, I'm just kidding. That is a tough one. I feel like, you know, when we did look for a cover to do this time, first of all, pretty much everything has pretty much been done metal, I'd have to say. Especially if it is a popular song, someone at some point has attacked it and there is a video on YouTube.
Most likely.
Whether it's got a lot of views or not, you know, that's debatable and just depends on the song itself.
Gotcha.
But when choosing a song, I mean, at least for me, I feel like it is trying to find something that we could potentially just enhance.
Okay.
Something that I think was written very well that, you know, in a different style could be almost better. I feel like that's one of my strong things, is kind of hearing things in different ways and kind of structuring things and putting weird ideas together.
Okay.
So that's where, yeah, I mean, just choosing something that is, again, as our style, something different, a way to do something different that you've never heard before, doing a ballad or something slow, a version of something you've never heard before. But it's a tough choice. It is.
There's a song that was on, and I don't know if you guys ever did anyone watch the show Daybreak on Netflix at all?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay.
No.
At one point, they do kind of a rock version of the song Making Love Out of Nothing at All. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That is the only time I have heard that. Besides, I think that guy who was in Old School who does the kind of almost parody songs, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I think he did a cover of it as well. But I would love a Whiskey Girl version of that song, because there's something about that song that I find hilarious and awesome at the same time, but I need my music behind it.
All right, I got a pen and paper. What was that song again?
Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Okay. Yes. All right, we're on it, dude.
Ian, okay, yes.
Check your inbox next week, okay?
Give me an hour.
The podcast is finally paid off. Thank you.
Woo!
I did it.
Mom, the meatloaf!
We need.
Is that the same for you guys then, too? I mean, that was Mike, right? Tyler, do you feel the same way? Or did I get that mixed
up? I do. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, no, you're totally correct. Yeah, I do. When it comes down to picking a cover song, you know, same thing with Mike. He was saying, I think instead of looking at songs like pop songs, like, I want to take this and just completely make it different. It's like, no, it's like, there's so many well-written songs out there, whether pop is like your thing or not.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of just also looking at the situation surrounding a certain song. It's like, okay, if this had generated, I mean, was almost just like a cultural kind of beacon, you know?
Oh, phenomenon thing. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. It's like, let's ride those coattails as well.
Sure.
And just kind of like what Mike said, just Whiskey Girlify it, you know?
Right. Right. I like, let's make that a verb.
Absolutely.
I like that. And by the way, so we've done a lot. We've done a lot tonight. I do want to ask, I don't often ask this, but because you guys are a newer band and everything, have you gone into the origins of Whiskey Girl in general? Because there's a few different things that make your name work that I'm interested in.
I'm interested in why you think it works.
When I look at someone's name, especially nowadays, right, when we know that merch costs a certain amount and you have to deal with certain things, two things stuck out to me, or three technically. One is all caps, and that often gets people's attention, and it's easier to differentiate when you're on Spotify with something like that. The other thing that I notice is Whiskey and Girl doesn't have the space in between it, so you've got now one word, and you don't have the E in whiskey. So those are the things that I noticed right away that I wonder, did you take the space out and take the space out for Spotify reasons and for money when you make merch? And same with the E when it comes to the whiskey.
Well, that's why we just print WG on our merch.
Oh, okay. Right. It's so funny. you brought up these things that were like so early on in the conception of the band, and it's causing Mike and I to like do silent high fives on this thing, because we're like, oh, that's like just someone like noticing these things. Like, it's really cool, you know.
Okay, yeah. good.
And I feel like mainly, I mean, the E and things like that in the space, I think, was more aesthetically.
Okay.
Just, yeah, as far as the typography of our logo and all of that put up together, it just, without the E, it looked better, just more, you know, rounded, whatever you want to call it.
The all caps was also just with aesthetics. Mm-hmm. And then the name, I mean, we can get into the origins of the name if you like. And my favorite thing about it is that it just became, it was such an like an organic thing where when we were like, okay, that's it. And also is that it confuses people a little bit, which I find to be a little like so fun. I was outside of a venue one time and I was talking to these guys and I was like, yeah, I make some music. They're like, oh, what's your band? And I said, Whiskey Girl. And they're like, oh, so it's like folk country or something like that. And then I just let them have it. I was like, yes. It is. Go take a gander, my friend.
Well, let me ask you this real quick though. So why not, and I know this is a dumb question, but I have to ask it. Why not Whiskey Woman?
Well,
that doesn't roll off the tongue, Ian.
But you have the alliteration.
True. We always go against the grain.
Okay. That's what I wanted to check. I just had to say it because it was in my mind. When I heard Whiskey Girl, I was like, why not Whiskey Woman?
Yeah.
So that's, oh, there we go. Okay.
I don't know. You didn't see us, but we just like looked at each other like, well, shit, I guess we're starting over.
Yeah, we're
That's my competing band now. So too late. Too bad.
Oh, no. We already have another friend that wants to make a competing band called the Bourbon Boys.
Oh, that's a good name too.
Actually, I mean, it is a short story. If we want to, you know, we got another second here.
Yeah.
It'll tie everything kind of in too.
Okay.
When we moved into Temecula together and we had written some stuff and all the band things are going on through our brains, we were doing dishes. And so Tyler, you know, first of all, I don't drink.
Okay.
That's one thing that hasn't been said yet. I'm, you know, not any crazy particular reason. That just didn't do me any justice. That's why, you know, he knew that from the beginning moving in, and he looked at me and he was like, hey, like, what did you drink when you did drink? And I was like, well, I was a Whiskey Girl. And so we both stopped. Like, I think I was vacuuming in the living room and he was like drying dishes, and we just both paused and like turned and looked at each other like, band name? Like, band name.
Nice.
And but he said it was such a shit eating grin. I'm just like, I was a Whiskey Girl. I'm like, actually, I just, in this moment, yes, that is it. Yeah.
And so that actually is what leads then as well to Chrysalis, the change.
Yeah.
And so that's why it all does kind of tie in together with some of the background of me, of course, but just in general, I mean, you know, hopefully someone can maybe see the connection too of just change. And, you know, to me, alcohol is, and just in society, is taking a crazy turn where it's just the norm.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. For sure.
And that's not what I do. It's not what I enjoy doing. I enjoy sitting here with the boys and just doing music and doing what we love doing. So,
gotcha.
You know, hopefully we can inspire some people just to follow their dreams and keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, it is kind of like a reverse thing. If you see our name and like with the music and all that, you would think that we would just be like huge advocates for drinking, you know, and like for, and not to say that that's bad or anything, but it's more so for us. It was very personal. It was more of just kind of like the acknowledgement of the past and letting go. And when we came up with the concept for Chrysalis, that was the same thing. It's like, there's the moth and it goes through this transformation and it's Chrysalis. And when it emerges, it's something totally different. And that's also the approach that we wanted to take with the music. It might start off in some way, but I can guarantee you it will make you feel differently when it ends.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And that's kind of the tie off too with Reverie being the opposite now of reality.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, we always do everything with a purpose.
Right. Well, hey.
Yep.
What a profound way to end this episode. That worked out. That worked out absolutely perfectly.
All right.
With what we had done. So look, what we'll do now is we'll do our little outro. guys, make sure you stay on the line. We'll talk more after we, you know, turn off the recorders and everything. But once again, I really enjoyed this to get to know you guys better, know your personalities. I think that's one of the big parts of the show is to, you know, people are going to like the music, but what makes them love the music, and that's putting your personalities to the music itself. So thank you guys really so much for coming on, taking the time to come on the show. I know I had to cancel last week during that craziness, and we're going to talk about that a little bit off air, but I wanted to once again thank you guys. I'm going to have links in the description of the episode so that people can not only listen to Chrysalis and everything else you have coming out, but also follow you on social media. I know you guys, Tyler especially, you're great at reaching out and talking to people on social media. So people reach out to him, and I'm sure he will reach back out and talk and very personable and everything. So until then, though, till I have all that in the description, what is the best way for people to support you guys?
Right now, I would say if you guys could go give us a follow on Spotify, Apple Music, our Instagram is Whiskey Girl Official. If you can give that a follow, please go to whiskeygirl.bigcartel.com where you can get our merch and stickers.
Yep.
And just come say hi, really. You know, I mean, we love to interact with people. And if you have something good to say or even something negative to say, we welcome it all. Yeah, so just come say hi. And we love to collaborate. And really just give our stuff a spin. You know, you might find something you like. And if you don't, surely your cousin or your grandma does.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dan, anything you wanted to leave people with before we say goodbye? I put him on the spot. I shouldn't have.
Okay, Dan.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Well, what I will say once again is thank you guys so much for taking the time to do this show. You know I'm a fan of the music, and I laughed a lot during this episode, so you know it's a good episode when I'm laughing throughout it. So once again, guys, thank you very much. And until next time, because I think next time we'll go into a whole bunch of maybe scene topics. We'll talk about new covers that you have out. This definitely isn't the last show.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thank you.
We really appreciate it, man.